real friends. Whatever else you have heard today, there is no better news than the news from heaven, that God is still offering salvation to all who have a desire to be saved. God is gracious and long-suffering in spite of the general disinterest of the crowd. He is looking for discouraged individuals. If you happen to fall in this class, I trust that the Lord will use this gospel program to meet your present spiritual need. I would like to turn to 2 Timothy chapter 4 and read the first 6 verses. I charge thee therefore before God and the Lord Jesus Christ, who shall judge the quick and the dead at his appearing and his kingdom. Preach the word, be instant in season, out of season, reprove, rebuke, exhort with all longsuffering and doctrine. For the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. But watch thou in all things, endure affliction, do the work of an evangelist, make full proof of thy ministry. These practical words of instruction are given by an aged servant of Christ who has come to realize that the time of his departure is at hand. In order that his work might continue, after he is gone, he gives this instruction to a young man, Timothy, whom he calls my son in the faith. That is, Paul was used as an instrument in the Lord's hand to lead Timothy to Christ, which of course is the grandest occupation for any Christian to enjoy on this earth. It would clearly indicate that the privilege of leading a person to Christ leads to greater responsibility, and that to guide the young believer in effective service for the Lord. It was Paul's desire to have someone to step into his shoes, to carry on the great work of leading weary, sin-sick souls to a saving knowledge of God's grace, so that no soul would need to perish and say, I had a desire to be saved, but no one was able to show me how to be saved. Paul seemed to realize that this world would be a veritable asylum if men and women would discover that they would like to be saved and be certain that their sins are all forgiven, only to find out that no one could help them or lead them to the Savior. Therefore, the heart of Paul's message to Timothy is summed up in these three words, verse 2, preach the word. In verses 4 and 5, he gives the reason for preaching the word. He is well aware of the fact that the trend is not to preach the word, but to substitute other things. So he says in verse 4, for the time will come when they will not endure sound doctrine, but after their own lust shall they heap to themselves teachers having itching ears, and they shall turn away their ears from the truth, and shall be turned unto fables. Fables are imaginary things for which no authority can be produced, and today the religious world in general is propagating fables. Imaginary ideas, creeds, doctrines, fancy speculations, for which there is no authority in the Bible. Some of these fables have grown and continued so long that they are being accepted as truth because of their age. Others are so old that no one is able to find out just where they started. Some are comparatively new and have just been on the market for a short time. Whether old or new fables, they are fables. If the instruction, preach the word, was appropriate in Timothy's day, how much more necessary and suitable is this instruction to every Christian today? I pause to ask every Christian this pertinent question. Are you propagating fables, or are you preaching the word? Can you turn to chapter and verse for all that you believe and teach? Let me remind you of the tremendous responsibility that is attached to attempting to lead other people in things that concern the salvation of the soul. Do you realize that God will require from your hand the blood of those you may mislead? To propagate fables or contend for things for which you cannot turn to the Scriptures is far more serious than the average religious worker realizes. It will take a little extra grace to acknowledge that you do not know, but it is better to admit the truth than to mislead. Would you like to stand before God's throne and be accused of being in any way involved in misleading a soul who had a desire to know how to be saved? I must warn you, in sincerity, if you do not know how to lead a soul to Christ with your open Bible, for that soul's sake and for your own sake, don't try it. For God will appreciate it if you are honest in this serious matter. If you cannot answer those questions that are being asked in the Sunday school class direct from the Scriptures, be free to confess that you do not know, rather than to give an answer which may merely be guessing and which might mislead. When you preach the word exclusively, you may have a clear conscience. When you add to the word some human thought or what you have been taught, which goes beyond the Scriptures, you are treading on dangerous ground, which may lead to serious disaster. The things of God are far too serious to treat so lightly. This world is seriously in need of honest, open-minded people who are able to lead souls to Christ with their Bible, who preach the Word and let the Word do its convicting work. You do not need to preach the Word to build an organization. You need only to persuade people to become members. But you must preach the word to bring souls to Christ. There's a great deal of superficial and shoddy work done in soul winning today. This kind of work does not stand. It is far better to lead one soul to Christ and see him really rooted and grounded in the word of truth than to get a dozen to say that they will accept Christ, when they do not really understand, perhaps in many cases, just what they are doing. One of the most common and greatest faults in Christian work today is a superficial dealing with souls. To put words in the sinner's mouth, to ask him to repeat them, will not save the soul. To ask the soul to pray through till he gets a saved feeling is popular, but it is not in the Bible. These are fables, and they mislead souls. It will be a glorious day when every Christian worker will be willing to bury everything except what is in the Scriptures. In closing, may I say a word to you who are somewhat interested in being saved, but may be confused. Be very careful, lest those who are so earnest to help you will confuse and mislead you. It might be wise to go direct to the Bible, or at least make sure that the one who seeks to help you will back every statement direct from the Bible, not merely from one verse, but from a number. If you are led to a person, the Lord Jesus Christ, you will get what your soul longs for. If you are led to religion, you will most likely be disappointed, because Christ satisfies and religion merely pacifies. When you listen to the Word and not to fables, you will be led to Christ, and to be led to Christ means the salvation of your soul. Paul himself preached the Word. He had a ready and intelligent answer for King Agrippa, for governors, for jailers, for the common people, and even for the cultured Athenians. And while his preaching was not with enticing words of man's wisdom, it was in the power of the Holy Spirit. When the Word of God is preached, the result will be that unsaved ones will be troubled and will soon express a desire to know how to be saved. His Word will also stir the hearts of those who are saved, giving them a desire to find God's will for their lives. When Paul preached the Word, these were the desired effects, and these will surely be the effects today. Preaching the Word causes the unsaved person to see that he is lost and helpless. Preaching the Word causes the awakened person to see that Christ and his atoning sacrifice on Calvary is the only basis upon which God will pardon and forgive the guilty one. Preaching the Word will cause the enlightened person to see that at some definite moment, Christ must be received as Lord and Savior, or he must be rejected. Preaching the Word will bring peace and assurance to the person who will in simple childlike faith claim Christ as Savior. It may be that someone listening should do just that very thing this very hour. May God bless you as you have listened to this gospel message, and may you obey the message of the gospel and accept the invitation to come to the Lord Jesus Christ for salvation.
In loving from the face of my not there.